Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
In today's video, we're covering another Murder Monday case. Before we dive into the story, I'd like to thank today's sponsor, NordVPN. You all know NordVPN is my go-to service for online privacy and security. Their high-speed VPN ensures that your personal information stays safe and protected whenever you're browsing, streaming, or shopping online. Honestly, the peace of mind it gives me while protecting my data is unmatched. Also love how easy it is to use. Whether I'm on my laptop, phone, or tablet, I can connect with one of their thousands of servers worldwide in just one click. Plus, it helps me access content from different countries, which is a total game changer for streaming. I literally don't know how I ever lived without it. ExpressVPN is also committed to protecting your privacy. They never log your data, and they use the best encryption technology available, which is something I really appreciate. If you're interested in trying out ExpressVPN, I promise it's worth it. You can get 72% off and 3 extra months using the link in the description. Check it out. Let's get into today's case. The story of the Lawson family begins in the rural heartland of North Carolina, a region where life revolved around agriculture and community. Charles Davis Lawson, the patriarch, was born in 1886, and like many of his peers, grew up in a world shaped by the rhythms of farming life. By the 1920s, Charles had married Fanny Manning, and together they began to build their lives as tobacco farmers in the small community of Germantown in Stokes County. While not a wealthy man, Charles was described as hardworking and determined to provide for his family, even amid the economic difficulties that characterized rural America during the late 20s. Charles and Fanny had 8 children, though one of their daughters, William, nicknamed Willie, died in infancy. Their 7 surviving children were the heart of their lives, as the eldest, Marie, then 17 years old, often assumed the role of caretaker, particularly for the younger children, Arthur, 16, who worked closely with Charles on the farm, helping to manage the demanding labor of growing and curing tobacco. The middle children, Carrie, 12, Mabel, 7, James, 4, and Raymond, 2, occupied the usual spectrum of childhood roles, balancing chores with moments of play and sibling camaraderie. The youngest, Mary Lou, was just a 4-month-old infant, requiring constant attention and care from Fanny and Marie. Fanny was a devoted mother and homemaker, holding the family together amid the challenges of rural life. Her days were filled with cooking, cleaning, and tending to the needs of her children. For Charles and Fanny, life was a partnership, defined by relentless effort, a reality that was typical of farming families in the early 20th century. The Lawson family farm was modest but functional. Located in Stokes County's rolling hills, the farm was primarily used for growing tobacco, a labor-intensive crop that required year-round dedication. The family's livelihood depended heavily on the success of their harvests, which were subject to the whims of weather, pests, and market prices. Farming tobacco was grueling work. The planting, harvesting, and curing processes demanded long hours of physical endurance. Arthur, as the eldest son, played a vital role in supporting his father with these tasks. The farm's location, while picturesque, also represented the family's isolation. Rural families often relied on close-knit community bonds for support and camaraderie, but their physical distance from neighbors meant that daily life was primarily insular. This isolation, combined with the economic pressures of farming, placed a heavy burden on Charles, who bore the ultimate responsibility for his family's well-being. By 1929, the U.S. was teetering on the brink of the Great Depression. While the stock market crash in October that year primarily affected urban and industrialized areas at first, rural farmers like the Lawsons were already grappling with low crop prices and mounting debts. Tobacco farming in particular was a volatile industry. The price of tobacco fluctuated significantly. Farmers were often at the mercy of larger buyers who dictated terms. Lawson's financial insecurity would have been a constant concern. Farming required significant investments in seeds, equipment, and labor with no guarantee of a profitable return. Any unexpected expense, a medical bill, failed crop, or damage to the farm, the plunge of family into dire straits. While there is no record of the Lawson family facing immediate financial ruin, it is likely that these economic pressures weighed heavily on Charles, contributing to his mounting stress and potential mental deterioration. The Lawson family was well regarded in Germantown. Neighbors described Charles as a quiet but dependable man who worked tirelessly to support his wife and children. Fanny was seen as warm and nurturing, devoted to her family despite the challenges of rural life. The children, particularly Marie and Arthur, were remembered as polite and industrious. However, some accounts suggest that Charles had become increasingly withdrawn in the months leading up to the murders, a subtle but ominous change that went largely unnoticed at the time. The family's relatively modest lifestyle did not stand out in a community where most residents were similarly struggling. Yet in hindsight, the family's dynamics and circumstances have become the subject of intense scrutiny as researchers and true crime enthusiasts attempt to understand the pressures and hidden tensions that may have led to the tragedy.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
While the outward image of the Lawson family was one of stability and resilience, it is possible that darker struggles lurk beneath the surface. Theories of abuse and dysfunction have emerged in the decades since the murders, suggesting that the family may have been grappling with issues that were never publicly acknowledged. The rigidity of early 20th century social norms often meant that families concealed personal troubles, presenting a facade of normalcy even in the face of severe internal strife. Some historians have speculated that Charles may have felt overwhelmed by his responsibilities as a provider, particularly given the economic and physical demands of farming. His increasing withdrawal and the alleged head injury he sustained earlier in the year have led to theories of mental illness or neurological damage, both of which could have contributed to a decline in his psychological stability. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, the Lawson family appeared to be preparing for the holiday like any other family. They likely had modest plans, reflecting their limited financial means. It was a time for togetherness and reflection, even amid the hard realities of farm life. For the children, especially, Christmas would have been a rare moment of joy and reprieve. Yet for Charles, the holiday may have marked a breaking point, whether his actions were planned well in advance or driven by an impulsive decision. The calm and normalcy of those final weeks made the eventual violence all the more shocking. Lawson's family background is a portrait of resilience in the face of adversity, a resilience tragically shattered in an instant on Christmas Day, 1929. Christmas Day murders of the Lawson family are among the most chilling family massacres in American history. On December 25, 1929, what began as a seemingly normal holiday in the small farming community of Germantown, North Carolina, spiraled into an unthinkable tragedy. Charles, the family patriarch, turned on his loved ones in a meticulously planned and brutal act of violence, leaving behind a scene of horror and devastation. The morning of December 25th likely began like many Christmas mornings in rural America. The children, ranging in age from 4 months to 17 years, would have been woken up to modest gifts, perhaps handmade toys or small trinkets, reflecting the family's limited means. The holiday held the promise of a brief reprieve from the hard labor of farm life, offering a rare day of celebration and rest. But for Charles, the day marked the culmination of a dark and calculated plan. The events that unfolded revealed a man who had not only resolved to kill his family, but had also orchestrated the massacre with chilling precision. His action suggests both a deliberate strategy and a deeply disturbed mental state. The murders began outside the family home. Carrie and Maybelle, two of the middle Lawson children, had been tasked with visiting a neighbor's house. Around mid-morning, as the girls walked along a path that led past the family's tobacco barn, Charles lay in wait, Armed with a 12-gauge shotgun, he ambushed them, shooting each girl at close range. Initial gunfire likely incapacitated the sisters, but Charles ensured their deaths by bludgeoning them with a blunt object, possibly the butt of the shotgun. This gruesome act revealed his resolve to leave no survivors. After killing the girls, he carried their lifeless bodies into the barn. There, he arranged them carefully, crossing their arms over their chests and placing their heads on stones as if in a grotesque mockery of rest. After murdering Carrie and Maybelle, Charles returned to the house, where his wife Fanny was sitting on the front porch. He may have heard the gunshots from the barn, but likely had no time to react before Charles turned his weapon on her. He shot her at close range, killing her instantly. Fanny's murder was the first in a series of brutal killings within the family home. The suddenness of her death would have left the remaining family members inside the house, Marie, James, Raymond, and baby Mary Lou, terrified and confused. As Charles stepped through the door, the Christmas cheer that had characterized the morning dissolved in the case. Chaos. Inside the house, 17-year-old Marie was taking a Christmas cake, a holiday tradition that has since become a haunting symbol of the tragedy. Charles entered, shotgun in hand. She may have been frozen with shock. Despite her age and maturity, Marie stood no chance against her father's weapon. Charles shot her, ending her life in an instant. Marie's death marked a critical point in the massacre. As the eldest child in the house, he may have attempted to shield her younger siblings or protect the infant. Her violent death left the younger children utterly defenseless. After killing Marie, Charles turned his attention to his youngest children, James and Raymond. They were small and unable to comprehend the horror unfolding before them in the confined space of the farmhouse. Charles hunted them down one by one. The precise sequence of their murders is unclear, but both boys were shot and killed with the same cold precision that had characterized earlier attacks. Finally, Charles turned to baby Mary Lou, just 4 months old. Unable to use the shotgun on an infant, he bludgeoned her to death with a blunt object. The brutality of Mary Lou's murder is often cited as one of the most shocking aspects of the crime, underscoring the depth of Charles' depravity and detachment from reality. Once the killings were complete, Charles arranged the bodies of his family members with a disturbing level of care. Each victim was placed deliberately, their arms crossed over their chests and their heads resting on stones or pillows. This act of post-mortem staging suggests that Charles was not acting in a blind rage, but with a calculated and methodical approach. It also hints at a possible sense of guilt or a twisted attempt at offering dignity to the dead. The arrangement of the bodies has fueled speculation about Charles's mental state. Some researchers believe it reflects a compulsive need for control, while others see it as an expression of remorse. Regardless of his motivations, staging the bodies added another level of horror to an already gruesome crime. The only member of the Lawson family to survive the massacre was Arthur, the eldest son, 16 at the time. Earlier that morning, Charles had sent Arthur on an errand to purchase ammunition. This decision has led to significant debate about Charles's intentions. Did he spare Arthur out of love, or was Arthur's absence a necessary part of Charles's plan to ensure that the murders could be carried out without interference? Arthur's arrival was a cruel twist of fate. Upon returning to the family home, he was greeted by the unimaginable sight of his murdered family. It was Arthur who raised the alarm, running to neighbors to help and initiate a search for his father. After completing the massacre, Charles fled into the nearby woods, bearing his shotgun with him for several hours. Whereabouts were unknown, leaving the community in a state of panic. Search parties were organized to track him down, but Charles was already preparing for his final act of his plan. Witnesses later reported hearing a single gunshot echo through the forest. When searchers eventually found Charles's body, they discovered that he had taken his own life with a shotgun. Nearby, footprints in the snow suggest that Charles had spent his final moments pacing in circles. Some believe this indicates hesitation or regret, though others argue it reflects the same disturbed mental state that led to the murders. Near Charles's body, searchers found letters and notes, though none provide a clear explanation for his actions. Reports suggest that he left behind a crude written apology, but this has never been verified. The lack of a definitive motive has left the case shrouded in mystery. fueling endless speculation about what drove Charles to commit such a heinous act. The aftermath of the massacre was grim. Farmhouse, with its blood-stained walls and the remnants of Christmas celebrations, became a scene of unparalleled horror. The image of Marie's unfinished Christmas cake has become a macabre symbol of the tragedy, a chilling reminder of the joy that was so violently extinguished. The murders shocked the tight-knit community of Germantown and quickly attracted national attention. Neighbors and friends were left grappling with the sheer senselessness of the crime. How could a seemingly normal man murder his entire family on Christmas Day? The lack of clear answers only deepened the tragedy, leaving survivors and onlookers haunted by the events of that fateful day. In the decades since, the Lawson family murders have remained a subject of fascination and horror. The calculated nature of Charles's actions, combined with the innocence of his victims, makes this case one of the most chilling examples of familial violence in American history. The massacre of the Lawson family on Christmas Day, 1929, left the small community of Germantown, North Carolina, in a state of shock and disbelief. The horrific nature of the crime, calculated murder of an entire family by its patriarch, was almost incomprehensible. It sent ripples through the local community, the region, and eventually the nation, becoming a dark symbol of familial destruction. In the days, months, and years following the tragedy, the community grappled with grief, confusion, and fear, while the events themselves became etched into the annals of American true crime lore. The discovery of the murders plunged Germantown into chaos. News of the massacre spread quickly through the tight-knit farming community, drawing neighbors, law enforcement, and reporters to the Lawson property. By the time Arthur Lawson, the only surviving member of the family, raised the alarm, it was already clear that the crime was unprecedented in its brutality. Neighbors who arrived at the scene were confronted with a horrifying sight. Charles's wife Fanny dead on the porch, Marie's lifeless body near the family's unfinished Christmas cake, and the tiny corpses of James, Raymond, and Mary Lou inside the home. Outside, the bodies of Carrie and Maybelle lay in the tobacco farm, where they had been meticulously arranged by their father. Charles himself was found hours later in the nearby woods, dead from a self-inflicted shotgun wound. The sheer violence of the crime was difficult for the community to process. The Lawson family had been well regarded in the community with no outward signs of turmoil. Charles, though reserved, was known as a hardworking farmer and a devoted family man. That such a man could commit such an atrocity was unfathomable to those who knew him. The shock of the murders reverberated throughout the town, shattering the illusion of safety and stability that rural life often represented. The funeral for the Lawson family took place just days after the murders, on a bitterly cold winter day. It was one of the largest gatherings the community had ever seen, as thousands of people turned out to pay their respects and witness the burial of the victims. The tragic nature of the deaths drew people from neighboring towns and counties, many of whom were strangers to the Lawson family, but felt compelled to be present. All 8 members of the family, Charles included, were buried in a single large grave at Browder Cemetery in Germantown. The decision to bury Charles alongside his victims was a contentious one, with some arguing that he did not deserve the honor of being interred with the family he had destroyed. However, in the absence of concrete answers about his motives, the burial reflected the complicated emotions surrounding the tragedy. The funeral itself was a somber affair, marked by an overwhelming sense of grief and bewilderment. The sheer scale of the loss, the murder of a mother and 6 children, left many in attendance struggling to comprehend the enormity of what had occurred. Arthur Lawson, the eldest son and the only member of the family to survive the massacre, Charles sent him on an errand to purchase ammunition in the morning of the murders, effectively sparing his life. In the days following the murders, Arthur stayed with neighbors, avoiding the now haunted family farmhouse. He was thrust in the public eye as the lone survivor of a tragedy that had captivated the nation. Reporters hounded him for interviews, and his every move was scrutinized by a community desperate for answers. Despite the trauma, Arthur attempted to move forward with his life. He eventually married and had children, but he carried the scars of the massacre for the rest of his life. In 1945, Arthur died in a car accident at the age of 32. Some have speculated that his early death was indirectly linked to the emotional toll of the murders, though this just remains conjecture. Following the murders, the Lawson family's farmhouse became an unlikely tourist attraction. Drawn by morbid curiosity, hundreds of people flocked to the property to see the site of the tragedy. The unfinished Christmas cake, still sitting on the kitchen table, became a particularly focal point. Visitors reportedly took raisins from the cake as gruesome souvenirs, a detail that underscores the dark fascination the case held for the public. Capitalized on the attention, relatives of the Lawsons began charging admission to the farmhouse, transforming it into an impromptu museum. This decision was controversial, with some viewing it as an exploitation of the tragedy, while others saw it as a practical way to manage the crowds and raise funds to support Arthur, who was now an orphan. The farmhouse remained a site of interest for years, though it was eventually abandoned and demolished. Today, the land where the property once stood is quiet, but its history continues to draw interest from true crime enthusiasts and paranormal investigators. For the people of Germantown, the loss of family murders represented an unthinkable violation of community norms. The notion that a father can murder his entire family and do so with such premeditation shook the community to its core. In the immediate aftermath, rumors and speculation ran rampant as neighbors sought to make sense of the crime. Some attributed Charles's actions to mental illness or financial stress, while others whispered about darker secrets, such as the possibility of incestuous abuse. The tragedy also served as a stark reminder of the fragility of rural life. For many in Germantown, the murders exposed the hidden struggles that could exist within even the most outwardly stable families. The case forced the community to confront uncomfortable questions about mental health, family relationships, and the pressure of economic hardships. The Lawson family murders on Christmas Day in 1929 left a lasting cultural imprint, transforming a horrifying familial tragedy into a source of dark fascination and artistic expression. From folk songs and books to documentaries and paranormal investigations, the case captured public attention for nearly a century. The enduring cultural impact of the murders reflects not only the grim allure of true crime, but also society's ongoing efforts to make sense of unspeakable violence and the mysteries of human behavior. One of the earliest cultural responses to the Lawson murders was the creation of a folk ballad titled The Murder of the Lawson Family. Recorded in 1930 by the Carolina Buddies, folk music in the early 20th century often served as a means of storytelling, preserving historical events and communal tragedies in a form accessible to the masses. The ballad vividly recounts the murders, describing Charles's brutal actions and the subsequent grief for the community. The lyrics paint a somber picture of the family, memorializing their deaths while simultaneously sensationalizing the crime, with lines such as, "It was on last Christmas evening, the snow was on the ground." The song sets an eerie tone, contrasting the festive holiday setting with the grim reality of the murders. The ballad became widely popular, circulating through radio broadcasts and live performances, ensuring that the story of the Lawson family reached audiences far beyond North Carolina. This song not only immortalized the tragedy, but also marked the beginning of the Lawson murders. The beginning of the Lawson murders' integration into American folklore. The use of music to process and memorialize the event reflects the human need to grapple with incomprehensible violence by framing it within a narrative context. Over the decades, numerous books have been written about the family murders, each offering new theories and perspectives on the case. Among the most notable is White Christmas, Bloody Christmas. Published in 1990, this book dives deeply into the details of the crime, the family's background, and the cultural climate of the time, presenting a comprehensive account of the events. In 2006, there was a follow-up book titled The Meaning of Our Tears, which expanded on the theories presented in the first book and incorporated interviews with relatives, neighbors, and others connected to the case. This book introduced one of the most chilling theories, that Charles Lawson may have been sexually abusing his eldest daughter, Marie, and that this abuse could have been a motivating factor behind the murders. While this theory remains unproven, it's become a focal point of discussions surrounding the case. These books have cemented the Lawson murders as a subject of academic and popular inquiry, inspiring countless readers to explore the psychological, social, and cultural dimensions of the tragedy. By weaving together historical research, family accounts, and speculative analysis, These works have deepened public fascination with the case while acknowledging its profound sadness. Like many infamous crimes, the Lawson family murders have been linked to supernatural lore. The family's former farmhouse where the murders occurred has become the subject of numerous ghost stories and paranormal investigations. Visitors to the property, which was once open to the public, have reported eerie phenomena, including unexplained noises, apparitions, and a lingering sense of unease. The Christmas cake that Marie Lawson was baking at the time of her death had become a particularly eerie symbol of the tragedy. When the farmhouse was converted into a tourist attraction, the cake was left on display, preserved under glass. Some visitors claimed that the cake was cursed, citing inexplicable feelings of dread or misfortune after viewing it. While these stories are anecdotal and unverified, they have contributed to the case's mystique and its association with the paranormal. The supernatural element of the Lawson murders reflects humanity's broader tendency to attribute mysterious or tragic events to forces beyond comprehension. For many, ghost stories provide a way to process the emotional weight of such tragedies, while keeping the memory of the victims alive. In the 21st century, the Lawson family murders have found a new audience through the true crime podcasts, YouTube channels, and online forums. Platforms like Crime Junkie, Sword and Scale, and independent creators like me have covered the case, often revisiting it with fresh insights and modern perspectives. These mediums have brought the story to younger generations, ensuring its relevance in an era dominated by digital media. Podcasts and YouTube videos often explore the case in great depth, examining not only the murders themselves, but also the cultural and psychological factors that might have influenced Charles Lawson. By presenting the story in serialized or episodic formats, these creators allow for detailed analysis and discussion, engaging audiences who are drawn to the complexities of true crime narratives. Despite the extensive research, cultural analysis, and speculation surrounding the Lawson family murders, many critical aspects of the case remain unresolved. These unanswered questions, shrouded in ambiguity and compounded by the passage of nearly a century, have cemented the murders as one of America's most perplexing true crime mysteries. The lingering enigmas invite not only fascination, but also reflection on the limitations of understanding human behavior, the societal context in which such events occur. So, of course, right off the bat, why Christmas Day? One of the most haunting aspects of the Lawson family murders is Charles' decision to carry out the massacre on Christmas Day. The holiday is traditionally associated with themes of joy, family togetherness, and renewal, making his actions particularly jarring. Was this timing deliberate? If so, what significance did the holiday hold for Charles? Some have theorized that the holiday amplified existing pressures on Charles. The societal expectation to provide for one's family heightened during the festive season could have deepened his feelings of inadequacy or despair. Others suggest that Charles might have seen the day as a symbolic fitting for his grim plan, an end to his family's suffering as he perceived it, a spiritual associations, framing the act as a perverse form of salvation. The lack of any explicit note or testimony from Charles leaves these possibilities speculative, underscoring the difficulty of assigning motive to such an act. Also, next, why was Arthur spared? A central mystery to the murder is Charles' decision to send his eldest son, Arthur, on an errand before the murders. At 16, Arthur was capable of intervening and potentially preventing the killings, making his absence a necessity for Charles to carry out his plan uninterrupted. But why did Charles spare him? Was it an act of love or guilt? Or was Arthur's survival an unintended consequence of his father's machinations? One theory posits that Charles saw Arthur as the family's best chance for survival after his death. By sparing his eldest son, Charles may have believed he was leaving a legacy or a protector for the family name. Even though this logic is deeply contradictory given the annihilation of the rest of the family, alternatively, Arthur's absence could have been purely pragmatic, a way to ensure that Charles could carry out his plan without interference. The question of Arthur's exclusion from the massacre also led to darker speculations. Some researchers have suggested that Arthur may have known more about his family or his father's mental state or actions they later revealed. However, there is no concrete evidence to support these claims, leaving the decision to spare him one of the case's most enduring enigmas. What was Charles thinking in his final hours? Charles Lawson's behavior in the hours after the murders raises profound questions about his psychological state. Retreating to the woods, he spent several hours pacing in the snow before finally taking his own life. What thoughts consumed him during this time? Feel remorse or regret? Or was his pacing a manifestation of agitation and confusion? The lack of a clear suicide note complicates efforts to understand his mindset. Some criminologists suggest that pacing is common among individuals on the verge of suicide, reflecting a mental battle between the desire to die and lingering survival instincts. Others argue that Charles may have been reflecting on his actions, perhaps questioning the justification or necessity of the murders. His choice to end his life near the family farm rather than fleeing could indicate a sense of finality or an acknowledgement that he had no future beyond the act he had committed. The most pressing unanswered questions, of course, why Charles Lawson murdered his family over the years, various theories have been proposed, including mental illness, financial stress, and incestuous abuse, but none have been conclusively proven. Each theory offers partial explanations, but the true interplay of factors that drove Charles to commit such an atrocity remains elusive. Final question, what could have been done to prevent the tragedy? Finally, the Lawson family murders raises questions about whether the tragedy could have been prevented. Were there warning signs that the community or family members failed to recognize? Did intervention from neighbors or mental health professionals have altered the course of events? These questions are particularly poignant given the context of the 20s, when awareness of mental health issues and access to psychological care were limited. The isolation of rural life likely compounded the difficulty of identifying and addressing any underlying issues. Charles may have felt that his struggles, whether financial, emotional, or psychological, weren't his alone to bear. In a society that placed significant emphasis on stoicism and self-reliance, particularly for men, stigma surrounded vulnerability may have contributed to his decision to act in silence. The Lawson family murders are more than just a story of unspeakable tragedy. They are a chilling reminder of the fragility of human relationships and the profound complexity of the human mind. Nearly a century later, the events of Christmas Day 1929 continue to grip our collective imagination, not just for their horror, but for the unanswered questions they leave behind. What drove Charles Lawson to destroy the very family he was meant to protect? Why did he choose Christmas, a day of unity and joy, as the moment for such devastation? And how do we reconcile the stark contrast between the family's portrait of togetherness and the violence that followed? These lingering mysteries have transformed the case into a symbol of unresolved darkness, a story that refuses to fade no matter how much time passes. The cultural legacy of the Lawson family murders, preserved in folk songs, books, documentaries, and modern media, ensures that the family story is remembered, debated, and mourned by each new generation. Yet, it is not just the crime that captivates, it is the humanity of the victim, the unthinkable betrayal by their father, and the void left in the wake of the massacre. The Lawson's family story is a poignant reminder of the hidden struggles that can lead to unimaginable outcomes, a narrative that compels us to look beyond appearances and ask hard questions about mental health, societal pressures, the unspoken pain within families, the cautionary tale that resonates across decades, encouraging reflection on how we can better understand and address the signs of internal turmoil before tragedy strikes. In the end, the Lawson family murders remains a haunting chapter in American history, a tale of loss and mystery that continues to provoke both sorrow and fascination. While we may never fully understand the motives or meanings behind that fateful day, the memory of the Lawson family endures, a solemn reminder of life's fragility and the depths of the human condition. And that is our true crime story for this holiday edition of Murder Monday. Give me your thoughts on what you think happened or why you think this happened in the comment section below. give us a thumbs up if you like the video. Hit that subscribe button down below, that shiny subscribe button right next to the thumb. So if you're going to hit the subscribe button, you might as well hit the thumbs up button. Makes sense, right? And if you'd like to support the channel even more, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring a new host, be able to pay them, and eventually take this show on the road. As always, we'd love to do episodes live from different infamous crime scenes, whether it be in the United States, Europe, possibly Asia. Your support can help make that happen. $1, $5, $10, $50, $100. No matter how much you give, greatly appreciated. And as always, you can find us on all major podcast platforms, including Good Pods. But with that, I'd like to say thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.